Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
It's the favorite time of the year.
Turn up the festive music, wishing you a happy holiday season.
From Radio Africana.
For he has given us the victory.
Oh, shout.
Shout. Good morning and top of the morning to all our listeners. You're tuned in to Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. Oh, what a privilege. What a lovely song to start off with. We are, you know, victorious. We're the victorious side. We're the winning side. We've been declared the righteousness of God. It carries so much very prophetic words in there. And I pray that the Lord will help us to come to a place of understanding so that we can truly be owners of that testimony and testify of the goodness of God wherever we are, right here in the land of the living. Lovely people, welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Father, we just want to commit our session today unto you. We thank you, Lord, for the journey thus far. Thank you for the year 2025. Thank you for how far you've brought us when we remember every single day and every week and every month in the year 2025. And we're here in the 12th month and we're coming to the final, you know, days in the month of December of 2025. We just give you praise. We acknowledge that you have been our shield, you have been our buckler. You're the one that declared us victory, you know, victorious. You're the one that won the victory for us. That is a done deal and a finished deal. And I pray, Lord, that we can walk in that reality, take advantage of the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. We just commit our session today unto you, O Lord. We ask, Lord, that your spirit will be as always in our presence, in our midst, to just guide, to instruct us in the way that we should go, to bring us to a place of understanding. We ask, Lord, that the word, which is your change agent, will be our helper. And the word spoken and what we share will release grace to those that hear and be able to take them to inner depths, greater depths, further in their journey of understanding your spiritual truths. We ask all of this and we thank you in Jesus' name. Lovely morning. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Okay. Being the end of the year, coming to the end of a long season, we want to try and round up of some of the things that we have been talking about, you know. And I remember last week our key emphasis, which we just want to throw some more light on, was 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It's a pivotal verse in the scripture. It explains that the natural, unspiritual, an unspiritual person cannot grasp spiritual truths from God's spirit. The natural or unspiritual person cannot grasp spiritual truths from God's spirit. So viewing them as foolishness, as absurd, because understanding them requires spiritual insight and discernment, not just human intellect. And I think we've mentioned this several times in our teachings here, that there's a way we come to know things, there's the way we have been taught, there's the impact that has been made, you know, through our nurturing, our upbringing, our backgrounds, our culture, our tradition, and there's how we've been taught to learn things or come to a place of knowledge, you know, through human intellect. But when it comes to the spiritual and things in the kingdom, these are not, you know, following suit with that particular style. And so this verse highlights a fundamental divide between the world and the spirit, which we're always talking about. We're in the world but not of the world. We're to be led by the spirit. And how exactly does that happen? And in the spirit, this is where discerning, you know, these divine realities and an understanding of divine, you know, truths, okay, becomes inaccessible to those who rely solely on natural understanding. So you'll often hear me say, well, may the spirit give you understanding. He's there to guide us, he's there to bring us to a place of understanding in the things of the spirit. One of the things that I mentioned a few minutes ago, it requires spiritual insight. So an insight into the word of God, insight to the truths that the word of God, the gospel, is trying to communicate, and discernment. Discernment is not a mental capacity or ability. Discernment is an ability to come to a knowledge of truth based on your knowledge of the word of God. So that must be clearly stated. Discernment is a capacity to be able to come to a place of understanding of spiritual truths based on your insight, the revelation that you've got in the word of God. And so it becomes an arena where the natural man is not able to function, because without the word of God, without a relationship with the one who is the truth himself, and without an understanding of the workings of his spirit, then our capacity to, you know, grasp the insight, spiritual insight, and to discern what it is they're communicating becomes a big problem. Now, this verse is fundamental. Like I said, it divides the world from the spirit, okay? And the kind of realities that we can access become inaccessible if you do not have this fundamental understanding. And so, want to look at some key points that this mentions, the natural person. And this refers to someone who is living according to the earthly, worldwide, and worldly or fleshy ways, okay? Earthly, worldly, and fleshy. The Bible talks that there is a wisdom from above that will keep you above, but there's that which is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So there's a wisdom as a result of the knowledge you grasp in the earth, in the worldly environment, through the flesh, okay? And the Bible, you know, is the one that categorizes it as demonic, as sensual. It's not of God, you know, and not guided by God's spirit, as distinct from, okay, the wisdom that is from above. Now, they said that's a natural man, right, does not accept the things of the spirit. These are divine realities, again, the wisdom of God, the truths revealed by the Holy Spirit. He's not able to accept them. He's not able to come to a place of understanding. They still remain a mystery. The truths elude the one that has no relationship with Christ, has no bearings from the Word of God, and has not built their capacity to discern, you know, the truths that are revealed in the Word of God. They are foolishness to him. The spiritual message seems illogical, it's not logical, it's nonsensical, absurd, okay, to this natural mind. So he cannot understand them. The human reasoning, rationale alone is not enough. Spiritual truths require spiritual perception. And so this has to be clearly emphasized. And because the finally says they are spiritually discerned. So understanding spiritual matters is a divine act, requiring the Holy Spirit to open the mind and the heart, not just human efforts or study. Okay, so Paul is contrasting here the natural and the carnal believer, okay, who lives with strife and jealousy, with spiritually it's not yet mature, emphasizing the deeper spiritual truths, all right, solid food, which comes from the Word of God. And these are not ready to receive them, not infants in faith who still require spiritual milk, you know. So they're like infants, you know, in the faith. They still need spiritual milk, and they need to be able to grow, to be able to get the ability, capacity to take on board the meat of the Word of God. So he said, I talk, the Bible talk about the Word, you know, to them is like a spiritual milk. They're still on milk. They're not able to understand, and they cannot discern spiritual, you know, truths to depth. So I just needed to put that across. And the reason I'm saying this is very important. In the course of our journey, particularly mine as a minister, I do minister to loads of people, and I find people come into relationships, they mingle with different people, and you meet different people who've had their own upbringing, they've got how they were raised, they got maybe their own tradition, their culture, their tribes, the accents, a whole lot of stuff that forms the person that you're meeting at the time that you meet them. So you meet somebody in their 20s, you meet somebody in their 30s, there's a whole compendium of things that has influenced that personality you are standing before. It has influenced their thoughts, it has influenced their beliefs, it subsequently affects their behaviors, their decision making, and a whole lot. And particularly when you want to come into a relationship and want to walk along with them, the Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? Amos 3:3. Without an understanding of what has been the processes that has brought them to who they are today, you can look at that person and maybe look at the scripture and, oh yeah, I'm expecting a Proverbs 31 woman, and then you start this expectation. What if the components of a Proverbs 31 woman is not in that individual? You will stand there expecting, speaking, arguing, debating, and demanding what they cannot give you. And so when you have an understanding of what it is their background, of course that's going to come by, you know, discussion. That's going to have more time about getting to know one another, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Very essential. It's only with some insight and sharing and trusting that that information can be trusted to the one that is sharing, and come into a place of, okay, this will help you understand my thoughts. This will help you understand my family. This will help you understand how I grew up. This will help you to understand why I do certain things in a particular way. And then reflecting them with the Word of God. Like I said, most of that may not have had any orientation in the Word of God. So it's good to have that understanding, you know, not with the case of, you know, being particular or expecting what's not there, but with a view to having an understanding, better understanding of the person you're relating with, whether that's your spouse, whether that's your colleague at work, whoever you relate with. So this really helps. Otherwise, sometimes we just come to people, we say things, we expect them to do certain things which they're not capable of, which may be strange to them, which is just out of their depth, and without first evaluating if what you are seeking, what you desire, what you're expecting from them is actually within them, is actually something they can deliver, is actually something that they're able to communicate, come alongside with you, walk with you in agreement on that, then there's a big gap in your communication. There's a big gap in understanding the personality that you're walking with. And so if you're not coming to agreement, if two can work together, they must come to some agreement, then you're going to have the conflicts, some of the contradictions, some of the struggles that we have talked about in our past session. So I just wanted to make that clear. And so sometimes little journey back, okay, with hindsight, even that person with hindsight can look at things, two of you can, you know, look at things together, you know, little things. So you didn't grow up in a typical family, you didn't have a dad, or you lost your dad early, you lost your mom early, or you didn't have the family setting, you know, at a particular age, or all of that stopped at a very young age. So certain needs were not met, and certain things had to be dealt with in one other way, a different shape, in a different environment, that has informed the kind of person that you are. And so when you have an understanding of some of these things, it really helps you to understand the personality you're dealing with. And that's why when it comes to relationships, you know, communication is absolutely essential. It's so important in a relationship, you know. And so I always ask young couples, and when we have counseling sessions, seek to understand rather than insist on being understood. So there's what you know, and you're insisting that your partner must understand this. No, why don't you pull back and seek to understand how they think, how they behave, what has informed that rationale, and then you can work together knowing that, or with the benefit of that information. And also, one of the things you find, I don't know if it's happening in a relationship seminar today, but I just need to put this out there. One of the things that helps is if you come from that approach to understand, and make sure you're not standing like a spectator in your own football match. You cannot be the spectator in your own football match. You have to get into the game. So you come up alongside with your partner, understanding what their challenges are, understanding what the limitations are, understanding the things that you expect to be there that are not there, and how you can help, how you can bring solutions, how you can work together. That's a much better approach to dealing with the challenges. Trust me, you need to deal with those even before the children come on the scene. When the children come on the scene, it's another season, you know. And so that brings its own challenges as well. So I don't know who this is going to be beneficial to, but because we are all going through change, we're experiencing change and transformation, which is God, you know, word working in us, from whatever our situations, our circumstances might be in our upbringing up to this point in our journey, then we recognize that there is help, there is a solution. God is able to make all things work together for your good. God is able to bring you to the points of the things he has testified in the scripture about you. That is not a problem, but you'll need to understand first who you are, as in where you've been, the world you're in, the fallen nature, the sinful nature. Those are the things we have been discussing. You have to have a grounded understanding of those. Then once you understand the sin problem, once you understand the power of sin, once you understand that all have fallen short of the glory of God, but God has brought a redemptive plan and a solution for us to move forward, then we can, with that hindsight, understand, okay, that's the condition under which all of this that we're sharing, all of this that we're reviewing, all of this that we're evaluating from the past to who you are has happened under. All right, so now in the light of where we are today as Christians, newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow, that you may be transformed, that you may be changed, that you can have the renewal of your mind. That is God's plan. Now, coming under that, you need to recognize, like we've broken through in the book of Romans extensively. If you haven't been following us, please get the series on working with God. We've done so many in the past few weeks. And right, so coming through to where we're at, we recognize the fallen state, we recognize the bankruptcy of man without a sin, without a savior, we recognize God's provision of a redemptive plan and how we can be transformed from that old nature, its limitations, the bondage, into the liberty of the sons of God, into the prophetic declarations the scripture has said concerning you. So it's not enough to say I'm a winner, I'm victorious, I'm the righteousness of God. There's what you must do consistently as a lifestyle to make that your reality. So these are the realities we're saying that the carnal man cannot understand, okay? Because they are spiritually understood, they're spiritually discerned. You need the help of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to bring you to a place of understanding, subsequently using that knowledge to a place of being able to apply yourself, and you can then take delivery of the promises of God, the outcomes that have been spoken about you in the scripture, you know. And so as you go on that journey, the conflicts, the contradictions, the struggles that you face begin to become clear. You are armed with a plan, you are armed with insight, spiritual insight, you are armed with understanding what exactly you're dealing with, and you are armed with what to use in that particular case. So when those thoughts come up, you know you're not bound by sin anymore, you know you've been liberated from the power of sin, you know that you have a choice to make, you know the Spirit helping you, you can take the right choice not to yield to the lust of the flesh, the yearnings of the flesh, the drawings that will draw you back into that old nature, but to take decisions according to the insights you have from the Word of God, to step in a new direction, to be able to step into processes that will give you access to knowledge, insights, revelation, and finally take delivery of the promises of God and the realities that the scripture talks about. Now that's a completely new experience. Now our prayer is that as you spend time in the Word of God, as you spend time in the presence of God, as you yield yourself to His transformative process according to the scripture, and as you have teaching, you get Bible study, you're grounded in that, and that becomes your default for decision making. So every time you want to take a decision, every time you have a thought, you have enough time to choose, get to the crossroads and make a choice and a decision based on the Word of God. Now that's not how it used to be in your old BC days, all right? But once you begin to move and transition into this, then you begin to find every decision, every thought, you know, that you're taking is now informed by the Word of God. And the Lord, who has made His Word to be, you know, a deliverer, to set you free, to liberate you from the hold and the shackle of the power of sin, will bring about new realities for you in Jesus' name. Okay, having said that, I just needed to get that out there. And so I hope that's helpful to somebody out there. All right. Wherever you're at in your journey individually, know where you were before, know what you were under, understand the liberation that you have in Christ Jesus, and subsequently the journey that you're on. And when you come to relate with other people, understand the same process. Where have they been? What were the influences they were under that has informed the way they think, the way they behave, the decisions they make? And the person today, try and have dialogue, try and have communication with a view to understanding where they come from, a view to understanding their perspective, a view to understanding what has influenced that. And then both of you get together, knuckle down in the scripture. Okay, we are armed with that. We have an understanding. So what does the scripture advise? What does the scripture teach us? How do we move on from here? That is a much, much wiser way to deal with the challenges, the struggles, and the contradictions that you both might have. And if you're honest, both of you have them. You both have challenges, you both have, you know, conflicts, you both have things that are contrary, you both have expectations that are quite contrary to what you expected. Sit down, talk about these things, have a look at them, and the Lord by His Spirit will make a way for you in Jesus' name. You give so much time to everything else. Why can't you give time to your relationship? Why don't you give time to your spouse? Why don't you give time to understanding one another? That investment of time will do both of you good. It will definitely go a good foundation for your children. And ultimately, you're having gone through this process, taking delivery of the things that the Word has, God has instructed you to do, and be taking delivery of the realities it promises you, okay, and inheritance, and you now becoming the owner of a testimony. Like I said, having understood that, having followed those instructions, having followed through consistently, I have now taken ownership of this testimony. I can testify that this is what God has done for me and my family, and so you have something that you can testify. That is something you can take as a legacy, something that probably you didn't have in your time. You can live for your children. You can raise them on that. In the seasons and the times ahead, lovely people, they're going to be very challenging. There are going to be very many contradictions. There are going to be very many things that will conflict, you know, and come in our spaces, in our homes, you know, our environments. We must be armed with the knowledge of the truth to be able to weather these storms. I hope that has really been helpful. We'll take a break now, and we'll come back and try and look at something more interesting as we round up our walk with the Lord. See you after the break.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? He's been knocking very long. He's been knocking for so long. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, 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 he's at the door. He's at the door. Someone's calling out your name. Calling time and time again. Can you hear him calling? Can you hear him calling? Calling very long. He's been calling for so long. Can you hear him calling? patient, but don't take a chance. All you need to do is open the door. Let him take his rightful place so he can change your world.
Good morning. If you're just joining us, you're tuned to Morning Dew here on Radio Africana. Yes, we just had a break. And we're just trying to recap on our series on walking with the Lord. I just spent a few minutes just to explain, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The carnal mind cannot understand spiritual things. So we need to understand that there's our carnal nature based on the circumstances in which we were born, the environments, you know, how we were raised, our influences from our early teachers, our role models, our parents, our tradition, our culture. So many things inform who we are today. And so each person is influenced by a real big compendium of different things. And sometimes when we don't understand the enormity and the degree of the influence of these various factors on our lives, when we want to relate with people, we have a lot of difficulty. We may have great expectations. We may look like a textbook approach, like I said, the Proverbs 31 woman, or the child of God that is like a son of David, whatever it is you have. And the person may be a far cry from that expectation. And so there becomes conflict, there becomes contradictions, there are expectations that are dashed, there are needs that are not met, all of that kind of stuff. But the more we seek to understand the journey, how they've got to where they are, particularly where they are in their journey, and okay, this is where they came from, these are some of the things that they went through, okay, this is where they are in the journey in Christ, you know, God, you know, it helps us to be able to relate with them much better. You know, it's like you having a student in your class and you do what's called an initial assessment. So then I understand, okay, this is where they are. These are the skills they have. This is where they will need help, you know, to be able to build up their skills, their knowledge and behavior. So it is also with life. But sometimes when we take all of that they bring with them, baggage, garbage, extra load, whatever it is, and undermine that or take it like it does not going to have an impact on the individual, then you're in for a surprise in your ability to work with them, to cooperate with them, or to get them to learn new things. So God counts Christians dead to sin because of their identification with the death and resurrection of Christ. If God considers us dead to sin, we must also think of ourselves dead to sin's dominion. All right, so if God says so, then we must, and customs of this, we must, sorry, believe it. Counting ourselves dead to sin means you don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, okay, but let God's transformation process make you a new person by changing the way you think, right? Then you will learn to know God's will for yourself, which is good, pleasing, you know, and perfect. You find that in different versions of Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, you know. And so every time we stand before God who counts us dead, okay, to sin because of our identification with Christ, he's aware of your history. He's aware of where you are now. He is the one that can transform you and move you on, you know. And so the more you engage with that relationship with his son, the more you engage with the word of God, which is his change agent, the more you listen to the word, take it in, the revelations, the insight, the truths. I did say that the word of God not applied is God not experienced. So the experiences we want spiritually, if we are not applying the word of God, then they will elude us. And so you'll hear testimonies here, testimonies there, and wonder, what's wrong with my relationship? What's wrong with my walk? What's wrong with my behavior? You have to know what it is they did and what it was they followed, the patterns that they followed, the processes, to be able to get the testimony that they took delivery of. All right, so the word of God not applied is God not experienced. And because we've not counted, you know, the grace of God that's available to us in Christ Jesus as a serious matter, then we're stranded in our journey. We come, you know, having a deep understanding what's really going on. You know, another version, the same, Romans 12 verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, okay, your bodies, living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. All right, so this is very important, primarily because of how we have been told things, how we're raised, how we've been taught, right or wrong in our formative years, like I said, and great emphasis is on head knowledge. Whereas in the kingdom, what really matters is that you're developing a relationship with the personality, which is the truth himself, and a daily step by step progressing and becoming in your walk, okay, into experiential knowledge of the truth. Okay, so you have a walk with him into the experiential knowledge of the truth. It is in obedience to his word and walking the path prescribed that you will come to learn and know God's will. All right, and we looked at John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, so have you believed in Jesus? So he's talking to you that believed. If you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall come to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So it's a process, lovely people. We have to firmly, you know, take our time to study, reiterate these truths, play them over and over again, you know, and we have a destination. He said in Jeremiah 1 verse 5 to, you know, the prophet, before you were conceived, I knew you. So there's a destination. God knew you and is predestined a destination for you. And he's not oblivious. He's not left you stranded or confused in how to get to your destination. But you need to study what that, you know, process is. What are the tools you need? How are, you know, what it is that you can be taken advantage of. Learn to walk with the Spirit. Learn to understand the instructions of the Word of God. Remember, that's not how you use to make decisions. That was not informed how you used to behave, either yourself or your partner or those you are relating with. So if that's the new way, we need to take on board the instructions, we need to follow through. And you got Romans, you know, told us that sin shall not have dominion over you. That's a fact as far as the Bible is concerned, over your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This must be your true worship. But to make sure that sin does not have dominion, you must know how to put down the flesh. You must know the choices available to you. You must know the options the scripture has given to you. All right, so by salvation we lived under the law. Sorry, before salvation we lived under the law. Sin was our master, because adhering to legalistic rules, okay, could not give us the power to resist sin. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body, okay, like the bodies that we sinners have, and in that body God declared an end to sin's control over us, giving us his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirements of the law could be fully satisfied. You can find all of this in Romans chapter 8 and verses 3 to 4. So the law itself, you know, was a school master. I keep saying that, you know, it's sin, it's just merely you know, serve to reveal our weaknesses, our failures, our bankruptcy. And so God's amazing grace is in the form of Christ, okay, sacrifice on the cross is the only thing sufficient to empower us to live according to the Holy Spirit's control. You know, so walking in the truth of our salvation does not mean that we will never sin. We're still in the environment of sin, but the projectiles, the temptations, the things that would normally befall the carnal mind, there is a grace, there is an exception, there is an exemption, there is a choice to not sin, which those in a relationship with Christ now have. And we have the grace of God empowering us not to sin. That's the important thing here, okay? That God has made this provision. You need to know who you are, as in your past. You need to know what was done for you now that you're in Christ. You need to know what has been made available to you to take advantage of, okay? In terms of the choices you make, in terms of your ability to stand in accordance with the word of God, sin shall no longer have dominion over you, okay? So we recognize what God has put in place. You know, so when we fall short of the mark, we have an advocate, we have a legal representative in Christ Jesus. So where the accuser of the brethren would have come with all things, you now know that in Christ we have an advocate, we have a helper, one who is truly righteous, who pleads our case before the Father. We see this in 1 John, you know, chapter 1 and verse 10, and 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, you know. And John explains, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all forms of unrighteousness. You need to know that, because that's something classical the enemy uses. We know the old nature. We still have the tendency to be hit by the projectiles. We still have the tendencies to want to be lured away by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But you must know that you have been empowered to resist. You have been given tools of righteousness that you can use. You can make the right confessions. You can take the right decisions. You don't have to yield to that projectile, that thought, that tempt. And we see it all over in our world today. People who have no spiritual discipline whatsoever, they just become prey, easily drawn away, easily pulled back, easily back to their vomit, easily gone back to the old ways. There is a choice that's been made. There is a path. There's a prescribed way. There is a pattern you can live your life. It doesn't have to be that way. And he says, if we fall into sin, you know, if we fall into sin, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and is just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We have that in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. So have a good read at 1 John, you know, chapter 1. There's quite a lot in there, and also to chapter 2, you know. So God responds, you know, to our needs, to our bankruptcy, to our shortfalls by giving us, you know, grace, unmerited favor. Bible put in John chapter 3 verse 16, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. Not that there's anything we did to deserve that sacrifice, but he demonstrated his love to us through Christ Jesus, you know, and made available the grace and the mercy of God towards us. You know, sometimes even when you don't understand where it is going, just know that that is you struggling. God is not struggling where you're going. God is not struggling with taking you to your destination. God is not struggling with the way that he has given to you. God is aware that you have times when it's like a student, you're studying, you're overwhelmed, it's so much. How am I going to get there? One step at a time. Trust and obey. God's response is grace. God's response is mercy. God's response is love towards us. you know, whatever our states are. And I pray that the Lord will give us understanding, you know. So he's acquainted with our frailties. He's acquainted with our human weaknesses, okay? Because Jesus Christ died for our sins to give us his righteousness. So when the Lord is declaring your endpoint, you are the righteousness of God. I think I've explained that several times here. It's like you enrolling in a college and you're still in your first year, you got your second year, your third year, or in university. You have enrolled on the course. If you take your modules one step at a time, one day at a time, one week after the other, one term, one semester, you will get to righteousness. So God declares you righteous because you are enrolled in a process, in a vehicle that will take you to that reality. So he speaks prophetically to us. You have been declared the righteousness of God through Christ, right? And so that's God's word, that's God's verdict. I want to urge you to believe what God has said concerning you. And I want you to also know that he watches over his word to perform it. He's the one that can really make it happen. So these words are not there to entice you, to trick you, or to play games with you. Not at all. It is a process that will take you through the renewal of your mind, through you anchoring yourself in the depths of the truths that are within the scriptures. The entrance of the word brings light, it brings understanding. So this light that we talk about at the beginning, this understanding that we desperately need to have so that we can become the righteousness of God, we can live a righteous life even though we're on this side of eternity surrounded by this sinful world. Your power of the power over sin has been broken for the believer. And so if you renew your mind, if you renew your thinking, renew the basis from which you take all your thoughts, your actions and behavior, and make sure everything is anchored on the word of God, you will arrive at that declaration, the righteousness of God. We talked about sin, you know, us being the seed of God's word planted in us, and it will bring forth righteousness. We talk about us being offsprings of God by virtue of his seed in us. All right, so God has used different metaphors to explain this process he's made available to us. Once again, sin shall not have dominion over you as a Christian, because the grace of God saves you and it enables you to turn away from godless living and sinful pleasures, all right, and live in this world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion. You can see that also documented in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Right, lovely people, just one or two more things, and I want to just conclude our session. It's been a very long session in 2025. We've been talking about walking with God, and we really try to knuckle down into some of the things that the Word has made available, some of the insights that it has shown us, some of the changes that have been, you know, made for those who are in Christ Jesus, knowing what it is a spiritual man must know and can come to understand that the carnal mind, not having a relationship with Christ, cannot establish, cannot achieve. So it's just something you must know. And so if your desire is to come to a place of understanding, then you need to ensure that you have this essential relationship with Jesus Christ. You are hid in him. Now let's look at Colossians, which just explains that bit. Colossians chapter 3, I want to read a couple of verses. You can find some of what I'm saying in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5. It says, since then we have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, not on things that are seen, not on the things that are around you, not on the things that are in the physical world, on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, this is your mind again, on things above, not on earthly things. Okay, for you died and your life is now hidden. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we're on a journey. There's what we're becoming. There's what we're going to, you know, be able to stand in the fullness of what it is that God is transforming us into. So if you're raised with Christ, okay, keep seeking the things which Christ, you know, where Christ is. So your focus is not on what is around you, you know, what was in your environment, the how you were raised and taught. No, look on things. What will Christ do? What does Christ's instructions instruct you to do as a believer? How would Christ respond in that situation? Make sure those are the things that are foundational. I'm constantly reminded, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, the ones that God has declared righteous, brings tremendous power to bear. That's powerful. So you who are the righteousness of God, your power, your strength, your prayer brings tremendous power to bear. However, the scripture says, if the foundation is destroyed, if what is fundamental, your foundation that is influencing your prayer, influencing your lifestyle, influencing your thoughts, your behavior, if that is faulty, the Bible asks a question, what can the righteous man do? So there are principles, there are rules, and we've talked extensively in our series, you know, the laws that govern our life in the sinful nature, the laws that govern righteousness, a life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus, the two different laws, and how the law of life in the Spirit in Christ Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. It's also something you will notice with time. When you grow and mature in this spiritual understanding, when you talk to people, when you just listen, you can tell where they're at in their process. You can tell which side of the coin they're on, or which side of the spectrum they're leaning towards. The Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. And so, you know, I hope this really has been, you know, a keen note to us on the things that cause our struggles, the things that cause us to have conflicts or contradictions, you know, and the fact that sin shall not have dominion over us, you know, is a fact. But how does that play out? You know, I think, just looking a few more minutes, okay. One more thing. What is a promise? A promise is what God promises to do for us. All right. So there are many of those promises in the Word of God. Right. The rest of the verse is talking about the fact that God has promised that we're no longer under the law, but grace is divine enablement. So Jesus invites us to come. All right. This is Jesus inviting us to come. He said, those of you who are weary, find this in Matthew chapter 11. You're invited to come. Those of you who are weary and heavy laden. Okay, so there are people under certain conditions and they're experiencing certain challenges. He invites those people to come to him. Okay, so his burden is light, his yoke is easy, he's prepared, he understands. He says, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, you can read all of that from 28 to 31. Okay. And he's promising that part of this larger passage in 28 to 31, Jesus explains that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So brethren, there's a yoke that's easy. There's a burden that is light. There's a way that seems right to a man, but God has given us a way of escape. Let's just look at it in the TPT as we round up. It says, are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life. For I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover I am gentle, I'm humble, I'm easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. So this invitation Jesus extends is an open invitation to all who labor and all who are laden. All right, Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 to 31. So the promise is that he will give you rest. The condition, he asked them to take his yoke upon themselves and learn from him. So we take his yoke, we work with him, we're equally yoked with him. Okay, you cannot be equally yoked with unbelievers. Be yoked with Jesus. Okay, his yoke is easy. Learn from him because he's gentle and he's lonely. And the results by taking his yoke, you will find rest for your souls. Right, so you should, you could be having challenges with certain sins, as the Bible, you know, talks about different challenges we go through. You know, the sin that easily besets us, whatever that might be, there is one who has invited you to a walk with him. His yoke is easy. Learn from him and he will give you rest. Lovely people, it's been a pleasure, as always, being with you today. I hope, you know, as I've come to recap what we shared today and all that we've been talking about in the past week, couple of weeks on walking with the Lord, I pray that you spend time in those recordings. You'll have them on the archive and they're accessible. I pray that you spend time in the Word. I spend time with your spouse. Spend time to understand those you relate to in different capacities. And you take on the yoke of the Lord. I pray that you learn from him and he will grant you rest. Till we meet again, same time on the channel. You know, it's been a pleasure being with you today. I know we're moving into a very interesting season. Let's remember the reason for the season. And I pray you all have a good time, a merry time, cheerful time. You know, lots of fun, lots of quiet time, lots of fun time, you know, with your loved ones, your family. Until we meet again on our next session, which will probably be looking at the new season ahead of us, what can I say? Enjoy the rest of your Christmas break and bye for now.